360. You are listening to We the People. Welcome, everyone. Good morning, Chandler. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
And the people. We have Sylvia here. She'll be here next week telling you all about issues with the Shasta Trinity National Forest. And we have Dan, who spends a lot of time in the Shasta Trinity National Forest.
Yeah, welcome, folks. We're glad you're here. This is our second show. We hope you joined us last week, and we want to encourage you to continue to listen in every Sunday morning at 8 a.m.
Absolutely. And for those of you that that are not familiar with the program, this is the second big week. So far, nothing bad has happened, which is awesome. You can jump in on the chat with us at kcnr1460.com. And you can email us at 1460@readingteaparty.com if you have ideas for advertising or programs.
Or feel free to call us at 605-4567.
This morning, you're brought to this program thanks to Dan Pearson Excavating and Miller Auto Transport. And we'll tell you a little bit more about those guys in a bit.
Well, first of all, you know, I wanted to mention something that I saw on the front page of the newspaper this morning I thought was kind of interesting. I know that with all of the heated races going on, there's all kinds of minutia floating around, and some's true and some's not. So the thing that I'm referring to is an article that indicated that Mr. Jim Reed, who is running for Wally Herger's seat, has been attending a lot of Tea Party meetings. Now, I do know that our doors have been open for quite some time, and we meet every Monday night at 6 p.m. at the Bonneview Baptist Church. And I don't know about you, Aaron, but have you seen Mr. Reed at any of our meetings?
Nope, and I attend the other ones, Mount Shasta, Red Bluff, Corning, Alturas, Red Bluff, Bernie.
Yeah.
So, I think he's spoken at a couple of them, but he is by far and away not a regular attender.
And we do have a lot of folks running for elected positions who are at our meetings pretty regularly. And I didn't think that I had seen Mr. Reed there, so I thought I'd just throw that out there. And you know, somebody's seen him, and I'm missing the boat here.
Well, kind of let us know. Well, we're on that that topic, by the way, the Tea Party. Locally and also nationally, we do not endorse candidates. We should kind of clear that up. The Tea Party Express a lot of times endorses candidates, but for those of you that are not into the deep inner workings of the Tea Party world, they are a political action committee run by a campaign electioneering firm. So that's slightly different. Your local volunteer tea parties do not endorse candidates. So if they hang at our meetings all the time, that's because they like it.
And I might add that, you know, we don't endorse for a very specific reason, and that is that having other people tell us what to do is kind of what got us into the mess that we're in. So we strive to be an educational forum, a place to come meet folks from various views and political belief systems. We've got everybody from libertarians to Democrats to Republicans to decline to state. We've got private employers. We've got public employers. We have everybody that runs the gamut come into our meetings. And it's really important to note that we provide the forum for everyone to become engaged and informed, but we don't tell people what to do.
Absolutely. We've told all the candidates smart money would be hang out at our meetings, because you have lots of voters there, people that are engaged, have friends, and want to talk about things that matter in the community. Also, I saw another thing online last night, the editorial about the IBEW ads that are running, and we've got some interesting things going on with all that union stuff. So I wanted to let people know that Monday night we will have the city council candidates again. I believe we have 8 out of the 10 confirmed at this point, and they'll be coming. We'll be taking the top 5 issues between the city council and the people in the audience. We'll take the top 5 and let them respond to those so that people can get a clearer picture of where everybody stands. A couple of suggestions had come through already, like measures A and B. The public safety is adamantly opposed to A and B, and we have not been able to get anybody from that sector to come in and explain what no on A and B actually means and why they would be voting against it. The Oasis Road Project, Stillwater Business Park, Turtle Bay, and the Civic Auditorium were some suggestions. So,
and those are pretty standard issues in the community, and those are kind of the things that get debated back and forth. So if you really want to know the skinny on those and see what these city council candidates really feel about any of those issues, show up Monday night, 6 o'clock, Bonneview Baptist Church.
Okay, that ends the announcement portion of the program. When we come back, we're going to have Anita Mengele. Mengels. Why do I keep doing that? Because I've joked about it all week. How horrible. Anita is going to come back. She's in L.A. at the moment. She is the communications director for Yes on 23. You're going to get all smart about what's going on with California's cap and trade. KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is Donnie Greenberg, publisher and editor of anewscafe.com, the North State's favorite online news magazine. If you've ever read my columns, you know I like to speak my mind. And now I'm inviting you to tell me what's on your mind. Join me every Sunday from 11 a.m. until noon, right here on Radio KCNR AM, 1460 on your radio dial. Do radios even have dials anymore? Tell me what you think about everything, right here every Sunday from 11 a.m. until noon on KCNR.
The Anselmo Vineyards Winery is our favorite destination. When we want to get away with friends or have a date night, we take a short drive to Anselmo Vineyards. If you're looking for a fabulous wine tasting experience, a five-star menu, and beautiful scenery, then Anselmo's will be your favorite destination.
That's right, Linda. With the seasons changing, it is a beautiful drive up to Anselmo's. Just a little way out of Palo Cedro, and you can enjoy a fantastic lunch with that excellent cuisine prepared by Chef John Stadelli.
And I'm really excited about the new fall music series. Candice Lavolsi, Rick Hill, Johnny Gonzalez, Pat Karch, Bruce Kalin, and yours truly, Linda Bott. Don't forget exquisite dinners, wine tasting, a great time on the ranch, and Anselmo Vineyards. It will become your favorite destination getaway.
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
And Aaron from the Redding Tea Party. Join us on Sunday mornings on KCNR 1460 from 8 to 9 a.m. for We the People, a talk show dedicated to the voice of the formerly silent majority in the areas of limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution.
And we want to hear from you, so email your topic and speaker suggestions to 1460 at readingteaparty.com and be silent no more.
Good morning. We're back. This is KCNR 1460, and you are listening to We the People. So, Aaron, who's up next?
We have Anita Mengels, who has been
good job on the name.
I know. Sorry, Anita. She's been specializing in regulatory and tax issues for the past 16 years, with an emphasis on energy policy and its impact on jobs, business, and California's economy. She has an extensive background in finance, economics, and experience in as both a small business owner and a corporate exec. She's going to tell us everything we ever wanted to know about Proposition 23. Anita, are you out there?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. We can.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I think you just asked me to let loose on what's going on with Yes on 23.
Please do.
Okay, well, you know, some folks may have been following the cap and trade and other issues in California surrounding our global warming policy. And right now, we are faced with a global warming law that's going to go into effect within the next year or so that will cost California families as much as $4,000 apiece per year in things like 60% for a higher electricity bill, almost 57% for your natural gas, almost $4 billion a year in higher gas prices. And all for a global warming law that, because California is going it alone with this policy, the rest of the world isn't coming along with us, will do absolutely nothing to reduce global warming. And certainly with, you know, over 2.2 million people out of work in California and the state leading the nation in home foreclosures, debt, job losses, and business losses, now is not the time to spend that kind of money on a global warming law that won't do anything to reduce global warming.
Now, Anita, I know that those that are in favor of AB 32 are saying that green jobs will create about 500,000 new jobs in the state of California, and clearly that's not going to make a dent in the 2.3 million jobs lost already, correct?
No, absolutely not. I think the number that you mentioned is the number of green jobs that have been created in the last 15 years.
Okay.
And you have to remember, what they're calling green jobs mean that if you were in a facility that was using, say, conventional light bulbs, and then somebody changed them out for those corkscrew-shaped ones mm-hmm. that are more environmentally correct.
With the mercury in them?
You'd be classified as having a green job.
So they're replacing existing jobs, basically.
I'm sorry, I'm getting a little feedback.
Okay. So basically what they've done is they've kept the same job and just changed the title.
Exactly. It's a real bait-and-switch game. And the fact of the matter is that there are green jobs growing in a couple of places. The first, of course, is the California Air Resources Board, which is carrying out this program, and they're hiring. They're probably about the only place in the state that is hiring. And they're hiring people in order to make sure that we toe the line and pay these higher energy costs that they think we should be paying, even in this economy. Green jobs are also ironically growing in China. China leads the world in production of solar panels and wind turbines. And guess what? They make them in coal-fired power plants that, of course, would not be allowed to exist in California. They make them without labor laws. They make them without protective laws for child labor. And then they put them back on ships with a huge carbon footprint, ship them back to California, and then resell them to the consumers that have already paid for them once by giving the money to the companies that are getting the subsidies to produce them in the first place. Those are where the green jobs are going. They're not here in California. We've lost 1.4 million jobs since AB 32, the global warming law, was passed by the legislature just 4 years ago. Now, we have had some venture capital come into the state. Ironically, again, a lot of that venture capital has gone into the campaign to defeat Yes on 23, because they know that if they can count on the government to make a market for them, they can get rich while they send their jobs and the facilities and the revenues that go with them somewhere else where they don't have these pesky environmental laws and the high taxes.
Hey, Anita, while we're on that, who actually are the proponents of AB 32 and who would be fighting against this this proposition?
Well, yeah, the folks who are really fighting against Proposition 23, and I mean, it's kind of dyslexic, you know, we're Prop 23, the law that we're trying to suspend is AB 32. The global warming law is what they are trying to defend at this point in time. And the folks who are against the people who want to save the million jobs and save those billions of dollars in higher energy costs are predominantly venture capitalists. $5 million has come in from one billionaire hedge fund manager alone. $5 million. And that would feed a lot of families who are on the unemployment lines right now, I can tell you.
Yes, certainly would.
There are venture capitalists who... You know, smell the profits. You know, Wall Street has kind of dried up. Wall Street got its hand slapped for making risky investments. So now these same venture capitalists, the same hedge fund managers are coming to the state of California saying, well, gee, the government is going to make other people pay to build our products and to produce them. They're going to kill the competition to the extent that they can. The co-chair of the No on 23 campaign has said, we want to make gas prices so high that people can't afford to use it. So, they're laughing all the way to the bank. Meanwhile, the people continue to suffer. Families continue to have to make tough choices every day about whether this is the day they eat hamburger or if they keep the lights on.
Yeah, that's certainly
true. It's absolutely disgraceful.
Now, I've got a question. This does not actually repeal AB 32, but suspends it until the unemployment rate in the state of California is 5.5% for four consecutive quarters. Now, given that the 5.5% unemployment rate for four consecutive quarters has only happened about three times since 1980, could it be that this proposition could potentially suspend AB 32 indefinitely?
No, actually, the number that you just threw out there is actually a misinterpretation. Let's take it piece by piece. First of all, the law does say if passed, Prop 23 would suspend the global warming law until unemployment drops to 5.5% or less for four consecutive calendar quarters. That actually has happened quite recently, and guess what? When the global warming law was passed by the legislature, unemployment was only 4.8%. And it had been at 5.5% or less for several years, during that period. So it can happen. The number that you threw out again, that three times, actually those three periods were extended periods of far longer than four consecutive calendar quarters. The truth is, going by the text of the initiative, again, four consecutive calendar quarters, We have qualified for that threshold 10 times in the last decade and 20 times in the last 21 and a half years. So it is indeed a reachable threshold. Now, obviously, since we've lost 1.4 million jobs since the global warming law was passed, you know, will it happen tomorrow? Probably not, but it will happen a lot faster if we temporarily postpone these incredibly expensive new regulations that are going to make it even harder for folks in California to get jobs.
Hey, Anita, we've got to take a break here, but when we come back, we're going to hear from hopefully one of our local guys here is a tow operator. He was talking about AB 32 well over a year ago when the rest of us really hadn't heard much about it. So we would like you to stick around through the break and possibly take some calls. If you want to call in out there, you can reach us at 530-605-4567. Apparently the chat has been disabled, so you will have to call. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media.
This is Mayor Patrick Jones. In a nutshell, this is what the Redding City Council election is about. The average citizen of Redding makes around $30,000 a year. You may be shocked, as I was, that the average employee at City Hall makes $116,000 a year in salary and benefits. This is unaffordable and unsustainable. I need your help to change Redding's course, to get us back on sound financial ground. On November 2nd, please vote for me, Patrick Jones. I'm Patrick Jones, and I approve this message.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
Hi, this is Sharon Gaberkavich, owner of Home Helpers. And Judy Garland said it best, there is no place like home. And at Home Helpers, empowering you to stay at home is our first priority. Home Helpers specializes in affordable, non-medical home care for seniors, new moms, and those recovering from injury or surgery. Home Helpers hires compassionate caregivers to help with everyday challenges. Whether your need is for a weekly trip to therapy, the grocery store, or a helping hand and friendly face around the house, we can help. Caregivers can provide transportation to appointments, light housekeeping, cooking meals, and more. Home Helpers caregivers are available by the hour or by the day, and all caregivers are screened, insured, and bonded. If you have questions about non-medical home care and how Home Helpers can assist you, call Home Helpers at 226-8350. That's 226-8350, or online at homehelpers.cc. After all, there is no place like home. Home Helpers, making life easier.
Feel tired, run down, or in pain? You don't have to live this way. Maybe we can help. Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. For 18 years, I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice on Court Street in Reading. Our customized program of body work and nutrition can give you renewed energy, a stronger immune system, and a healthier outlook on life. Call us at 244-7873. It's your health. You deserve it. That number again is 244-7873.
Good morning. This is Mayor Patrick Jones, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Aaron, for allowing me to come by and say congratulations and good morning.
Good morning, and you're listening to We the People on KCNR 1460.
Mayor Jones was going to pop over last week, but he was out.
I was in Wyoming, of course, and I called, and the congressman was actually speaking. And so, you know, as mayor, you're going to get bumped by the congressman. That's just the way that works.
It's all about the hierarchy.
But I just wanted to stop by and say congratulations, and not only on the radio show, but for what you're doing in our community. I have not seen any group be able to get 300 or 400 people together on a weekly basis to talk about things that are important in our community, our state, and our nation. And for that, I just I'm astounded that you've been able to pull it off. And
thank you.
You know, and that's,
it's a team effort. There's an awful lot of people out there pulling together.
And the theme is that we all begin November 3rd. I've talked to so many people in different groups all around Northern California and Oregon that are all of the same mindset. November 3rd starts again.
Now, Mayor Jones, you come to a lot of our Tea Party meetings. Have you seen Jim Reed?
Well, you know, I've seen Jim Reed around at a few different things. I haven't seen him at the Tea Party.
Okay, just checking.
And, when we get out there, you know, there's a lot of events. There were at least two events last night in town. I didn't see Mr. Reed there either. But, you know, there are a lot of different events. And, of course, in a congressional district, a huge district. So I wouldn't want an assembly district or a congressional district. They are massive. And, boy, getting around. Doug LaMalfa has always been talked about how well he gets around. He is everywhere. I think
he
I went
everywhere.
To a
he is. He is.
I went to a birthday party and I think he was there. He is really very, very visible, and people like to see that their local representatives are taking the time to come and look at what's going on in different communities. And these districts are so big, you've got many communities. And but I am impressed with your group. And you know, somebody asked me the other day, why don't the Tea Party do this? And and I said, you know, they've been around for maybe a little over a year, somewhere around And I said, you know, they're learning. You know, they're learning, and this organization and this group, this party, is evolving into what it wants to do and what it will accomplish, and getting, you know, information out. And I said, you know, be a part of it and then go make it happen.
That's right.
And everybody, that's the neat thing here, is that everybody can be a part of the Tea Party.
And bottom line is the goal is not for it to become like everything else. Right. That's how we got into this mess. Mm-hmm. So it seems like our theme this morning is limited government, fiscal responsibility, adherence to the Constitution, and don't tell fibs in the newspaper, or Elizabeth will dog you.
Well, those are all great principles that I think everybody should live by, and I certainly believe in them, and that's why I go to the meetings. I believe in what you're doing and how you're doing it. And somebody asked me on your first debate or speeches or whatever that we call it, you know, that it was a little different. And I said, you know what? It's different. I like it. You know, it's not the same that we've done, and maybe something good could come out of it, something people could grab a hold of, and it did, and it did do that. And just like tomorrow night, we've got a new form that hasn't been tried before. It's different. You don't know exactly what to expect. It shows who has knowledge, who doesn't have knowledge, and can you speak on your feet? Do you have the issues? Do you have a vision for Reading? I like these kind of forums, different.
Well, unique. The nice thing is it's sort of a microcosm of how individuals are going to be on the city council.
And for so many years, you know, you vote for people that you don't really know that well. They get elected and you go, wait a minute, it's not who I thought you were.
I've seen it time and time again. You know, when I first ran back in 2002, I had a very aggressive campaign manager that pretty much told me how to tie my shoes, how to walk, how to wave, and it killed me. Mm-hmm. And after that, I said, you know what, I'm never going to do that again, that I can't be myself. If I can't be myself, I'm going to have a problem, because who we are, that's what the people need to see.
Yeah.
And if you like me, vote for me. If you don't, don't. But at least you know what you're getting. I attended so many council meetings where I watched debates and saw something different once the election was over and people were seated.
Right.
And that really bothered me, because we didn't get what was advertised.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so you should know. And so when I debate, I try to be very forthright.
You're so forthright that every now and then you get typecast as mean.
That is true.
It's the mean mayor.
Well, I've been called a lot of
things.
No
one ever calls me mean, so, you know.
I've got a few nicknames. Let's see the ones I like. There's Machine Gun Jones. That one.
Gee, that's appropriate.
The Terrible Three.
Kelly was taken.
That one was different. Mean Mr. Jones. That one still lingers.
Yeah. But Mr. Jones Goes to Washington.
I hadn't heard.
Is there a movie
one.
About that? All right, we better get back to Assembly Bill 32.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
And
thank you guys.
Yeah.
Keep
thank
up the
you
good
for,
work.
We're sorry we missed out on you last week, but like you said, you know.
It was a packed house.
It was a full docket last week.
Congressman Trump's a mayor. Thank you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for popping over. Isn't it fun to have live commercials?
People
just walk in.
It is. It's wonderful.
All right, so we're done goofing off now. Get back to Anita. And Mike is on line two. Let's get Anita back in here, make sure she's here.
I'm here.
Good morning again.
All right.
Good morning.
Thank you so much.
And we've got Mike Foreman on
Mike.
Here. Mike, give Anita a little heads up about what you do. And
thanks for calling in.
Yes.
Okay, sure. You're welcome. Thanks for being here today. I have a heavy-duty towing business, and we do light-duty as well, but primarily our focus has been on the big trucks and trailers that are going up and down the highways and freeways. And, you know, we've been faced with, you know, this issue over carbon. In fact, one of my questions to you, Anita, is about how Prop 23 might have an impact, if any, on what CARB is going to force the diesel truck industry you have to do to comply with the emissions regulations that they have in store.
Well, and thanks, Mike, so much for calling in. You know, the trucking industry and the transportation sector as a whole has already been hammered by the Air Resources Board for years. They put out regulations. You spend a lot of money to comply with them. Sometimes they're not well thought through technically, and I've heard stories about truck owners that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars only to find that the retrofitting they had to do or the changes they had to make have actually hurt their trucks. Right now the Air Board has overestimated diesel emissions by 340%. It was quite the scandal, 340% overestimated on the emissions. And these are the types of flawed information that the agency is passing these incredibly expensive regulations on. So my heart goes out to folks who are in the trucking industry. You guys actually bring everything we need to our tables. In the case of, say, tow trucks, of course, when we're in trouble, you come and get us. We need our transportation sector, and these Air Resources Board rules have been really, really, really making that a struggle. Under the state's global warming law, you're going to be facing some more problems. There are laws that require some aerodynamic retrofits to trucks, very, very expensive. And unfortunately, the testing that's been run on them apparently has shown that these new technology improvements that you need to make to the trucks only work if you're doing 65 miles per hour. And since the speed limit in California is 55, we're probably not going to see any benefits for the investments that truck owners are going to have to make, which is really a shame. Even more importantly, the low-carbon fuel standard that we talked about for a few minutes earlier is going to add $3.7 billion a year to the cost of fuel. Now, you can imagine if your family has to pay, say, $1 a gallon, $2 a gallon more for gasoline, what it does to you. Imagine if the tool of your trade, if your truck, or if you're a fleet owner, many of your trucks have to face those same types of fuel increases. It makes it a lot harder because in this economy, you can't really pass the cost along. When you have to raise your prices to cover your costs, you're probably going to lose more customers than you've already lost. And again, this is for a global warming law that will do absolutely nothing to reduce global warming. We already have the strictest laws in the country governing diesel emissions, governing our trucks, governing our cars, and everything else we use for transportation. So again, yes on 23 will save us from those astronomical increases in fuel prices, and it will also spare the already struggling trucking industry from having to make even more expensive modifications to their equipment or perhaps replace it altogether.
Hey, Mike. Tell people what kind of cost you're anticipating what kind of money are you looking at?
This has been one of the very, very difficult issues. In fact, what Anita was talking about is exactly right. For our trucks, a new truck is, $250,000 to $300,000. We have four heavy-duty tow trucks. When you add them all together, it's about four trucks. And to have to replace all of those to meet and be in compliance with what the California Air Resource Board wants from us, we would have to raise our rates so much it would just be ridiculous, and you couldn't possibly charge that. And they want to, of course, have this done by a certain deadline, which in this economy, it's not going to be possible for us to do that. We will go out of business. And there's a lot of other businesses out there that in the same situation. The other problem we have is when they have these devices, if you retrofit your truck, you can take an old truck and retrofit it by putting another engine in and putting this new filter system on, and the cost of that would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $60,000 for one of my trucks to do that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to try to do that either, but it's better than $300,000. The problems are also that for us, we sit in idle a lot when we're doing wrecks and just whatever we have to do out there. And these things are not designed for trucks that sit in idle. So that means that we're going to be constantly having maintenance and breakdown problems. These filters basically will plug up if they don't have a lot of heat produced or generated because the truck's working hard. And when you're sitting in idling, it's not working hard. So that means that they have to dump a lot more fuel into the system to actually heat up the exhaust system. So your mileage drops from maybe 5 to 6 miles per gallon down to 3 miles per gallon, and your cost to operate per hour goes right through the roof as well. There's just a lot of things that are real big problems with all of this, that they don't even have the technology in place to be able to satisfy what the law requires. I mean, all the NOx emissions and all the other things that they have going on that they're trying to address through this, they don't have the technology in place to actually meet that and satisfy those requirements like they're insisting on us doing. You know, our trucks basically have to be replaced before they're even worn out. And it's just, economically, it's insane. It makes absolutely no sense. And
let me jump in here for 1 second. Anita, when you talk to people all over the state, I'm assuming that you talk to the people who want to vote no on 23 as well. When you explain some of these things and what it's going to do to business owners, what's their justification for this?
You know, a lot of these folks have absolutely no concept of the cost. And, you know, they will say, well, no, it's just going to make the big refiners or the big power companies or the big manufacturers pay to, quote unquote, pollute. And I say quote unquote because, you know, greenhouse gases, which are what are regulated under the state's global warming law, have absolutely nothing to do with pollution in the conventional sense of the word. Carbon emissions are what we breathe in and out every day. If we didn't have carbon dioxide, we would all die. Yet that is what is being regulated and classified as a great threat to public health and the environment. In actuality, even the Air Resources Board has said that carbon emissions, greenhouse gas emissions, regulated under the global warming law, have absolutely no direct impact on public health or the environment. But a lot of folks haven't gotten that message, and they don't understand that not only are the large emitters of greenhouse gas emissions, who, by the way, comply already with the strictest air quality laws on the planet, are going to be the only ones who pay for this. Every single Californian, and Mike is a great example of this, is going to have to pay. And, you know, one of the reasons, again, that folks, you know, really don't get it about why Yes on 23 is important is that there's been a lot of time and money spent by opponents of this initiative to spread false information about precisely what the law will and will not do, which is really, really frustrating. You know, and something else that Mike is faced with, that a lot of other folks are faced with here, and this is something that the California legislative analyst has noticed and published, actually, and that is the fact that because California is the only state that has such an aggressive global warming policy, that we're going to be losing businesses like Mike's. I mean, I don't know what his personal situation is, but what I hear from folks out there in all over the state who are in the same kind of position, they will say, you know, my customers are already leaving for other states where they can actually make a living, and they've said to me, why don't you relocate? And a lot of these folks are family businesses that have been around in California for a long time, and they don't want to, but one by one, they're saying, you know what, if we want to survive, two things have to happen. First of all, if we want to stay in California and these laws go forward, then we're going to have to cut payroll because it's going to be so expensive for us to operate our businesses. So what does that mean? That means that families, you know, wage earners that had jobs, had a paycheck coming in, had health benefits possibly for their families, maybe had retirement accounts, suddenly they go from being productive members of California society and paying taxes to being tax takers. They're on the unemployment line.
That's correct.
Now, worst case scenario, yeah, they make the cuts. They don't have any money left to continue to comply, especially if these rules go forward with the timing that they're looking at now. They leave the state. So they take every last job with them.
Now, Anita,
they take the tax dollars with them. They take the health insurance benefits with them.
Now,
and
Anita, can
what
I...
happens? That means your local community suddenly isn't getting as much tax revenue.
Right.
That filters down to what happens in our schools. Not enough funding already. We're looking at worse. What happens to your law enforcement? What happens to your fire protection?
Now, Anita, if I can jump in before we go on break.
The California State Firefighters Association supports Proposition 23. The Los Angeles Police Protective League, the cops, they support Prop 23 because they understand that when you kill jobs, you not only have people on the unemployment line, it means that local governments have less money to pay for the essential services that government ought to be all about.
Anita, real quick before we go to break, is there a provision in AB 32 that allows suspension of AB 32 for extraordinary economic circumstances? And if so, do you think the governor will use that provision?
Yes, there's absolutely a provision in there, because even when the law was passed during good economic times, the authors understood that times could change, and that's exactly what's happened. So they put a provision in the law that would allow the governor to suspend any or all of the global warming law in the case of the threat of severe economic harm. Now, with a $20 billion budget deficit, 2.2 million people out of work, everything we've talked about with the economy, you'd think the governor would get it, that yes, there is the threat of severe economic harm if you layer on billions more in costs and kill more than a million jobs. Unfortunately, he has not done that. That's why this is on the ballot. That's why 800,000 Californians signed petitions to put this on the ballot so we could take back some fiscal sanity and inject responsibility into this process.
And this brings us to a nice break in two ways. We've got November 2nd coming up where we can change the governor. How great is that? And we need to take a little commercial. Mike and Anita, if you could stick with us, that would be awesome. This is KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and it has been an honor to serve you as Redding's mayor. Much has changed in the last 4 years. Times are tough. The state and federal economy is upside down. We must overhaul retirement benefits today, not tomorrow. We must live within our means. I want to continue representing you on the council and continue the work that we have started to make Redding a better place to live and to work. The next 4 years will be fiscally challenging. Today, we need true leadership more than ever. I hope you vote for me, Patrick Henry Jones, for Redding City Council. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, 2010.
Freedom means different things to different people. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Commonly, freedom is thought to be free to travel without government control, to be able to make your own decisions regarding health care, family, and religion, to be free to pursue an occupation, and to keep the rewards of your labor. This has worked for America for over 200 years, and America has become a success story that no other nation in the past or today has been able to duplicate. Why would some Americans want to accept changes that have failed in other countries? It's because freedom means different things to different people. There are those that want freedom from life's responsibilities. They want no worries about having a job, health care, food, or housing. They want the government to provide it. And the bonus is, it will punish the producers, whom they believe have too much wealth. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Listen to Market Your Local Business with Curtis and Jackie on Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. We talk about how to market your business with lots of tips, tricks, and new ideas for branding and marketing your business.
Brought to you by Need to Speed, Maxwell Insurance and Financial Services, and Josh Barker Town and Country Real Estate. Saturdays 1 to 2 p.m., KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to We the People. This is KCNR, 1460 AM. We've got Mike on the phone, who is a tow truck driver, and we've got Anita, who is an expert on Proposition 23, which will suspend AB 32. Welcome back.
And Mike's not just a tow truck driver. He does big time heavy.
I knew that. I had a lot to say.
I am so sorry. He does all the really big, big giant towing. Like if a giant truck flies off the road, Mike goes and fishes him out of the ditch. Hey, you know, I've got to add one thing here before we get started here. We got a couple other people that are going to get hammered with this provision, actually, AB 32. We've got Dan Pearson Excavating and Miller Auto Transport, two of our favorite guys who are helping sponsor this program. And we're supposed to be doing the commercial for them, and obviously we've been slacking.
But thanks, guys.
Thanks tons to Dan and Bill Miller. So anyway, resume confrontation here on AB 32 and Prop 23. What are we going to do with this thing? Tell us.
If you're asking me,
yeah, tell us, Anita.
What we're going to do is encourage folks to get out and vote. You know, there's a lot of money that's come in from the venture capital community, from those Wall Street types that see this as a golden opportunity to, you know, have big returns with absolutely no risk. And we have to stop them. Again, you know, before the break, we were talking about the fact that the governor had refused to suspend the global warming law because of the threat of dire economic harm. And Californians need to say enough is enough, just like we did with Prop 13, when everyone said, oh, no, the world's going to come to an end if we do this. We're looking at a similar situation, and it is equally as important because everything we do, literally, is going to be governed by this unelected body of political appointees up in Sacramento who don't care about the cost. If you ask them, they will tell you. First, they'll tell you, oh, don't worry, it's not going to cost anything, and then they'll tell you, but even if it did, we have to do this. Now, understand that every other state and every other country on the planet is scaling back its global warming policy in order to protect their economies. Some of the biggest cheerleaders for moving ahead with climate change laws, like England, like Australia, like France, Japan, Germany, Italy, Spain, they have noticed, especially in those last few that I mentioned, that when you subsidize technologies that can't stand on their own, when you subsidize the creation of so-called green jobs, you kill not only the economy, you kill jobs. In Spain, they found that several regular jobs were lost for every so-called green job that was created. So what we need to do is get the word out. Anybody who will listen, and even those who don't want to listen, you have to make sure you let them know what is at stake and how important it is to get to the polls on November 2nd and vote yes on Prop 23.
Hey, Anita, for all those folks out there that are thinking, oh my gosh, I had no idea this thing was this important. You know, how do I let my friends and family know? We want to let people know that this Thursday between 11 and 2 at Dairy Queen on Churn Creek Road here in Reading, they can pick up materials from folks off the Yes on Proposition 23. They're going to have bumper stickers and yard signs and what else? What else are they going to have there?
Window signs really you can put in your windows. And lots of information as well that you can take back to your workplace, to your family, to your church, to your health club, wherever it is that you go, that you can see people, get the word out. If you have a Facebook page, put the information up on your Facebook page. We have a great website. It's www.yeson23.com. And this is how we're going to win this. We're going to win this one vote at a time, and we are going to return some fiscal responsibility and common sense to a process that, unfortunately, even though it hasn't been put into effect yet, is already starting to impact people's lives. You know, the utility companies have already gone to the Public Utilities Commission and asked for millions of dollars in rate increases that you and I are going to have to pay just to pay for the administrative costs of the global warming law. They passed a tire inflation law, and again, this is the kind of thing that drives me crazy, having been following this issue for a number of years, where the staff makes a presentation that says, we're going to have a law that says if your tires aren't properly inflated, you're going to be fined, you're going to be in trouble. If you go to get your tires rotated and the company that is rotating your tires, you know, you go to one of these drive-through quick places to get your tires rotated, then they're going to be fined. So the question was asked, well, how much is this going to cost? And the staff said, without batting an eye, $100 million.
And one of
the board members said, well, gee, you know, isn't that going to be a little hard on those small businesses to rotate the tires? And they said, no, they're going to pass it along. The customers are going to pay for it.
You know, Anita, I think
$100 million a year
I think
just for tire inflation. Can you imagine what these other laws that aren't going to cost us anything are going to cost?
Could I add a couple comments on this real quick? One of the things that's interesting to me is the cost of small businesses, the impact of AB 32, just for a small business like me, will be an average of $50,000 per year. That's additional overhead. Now, we're talking $4,000 per household increase by 2002 or 2020, you know, for the additional cost for just utilities and, you know, electricity, you know, home heating and so forth. But we're talking every year a small business, the average increased cost of that business to operate will be $50,000 per business per year in the state of California.
And I'd like to interject for just a moment. I don't think that people realize the trickle-down effect of what this is going to do. Think of the cost of goods being transported. I mean, everything that you buy in a store usually is trucked in. So everything is going to be passed down to the consumer.
It's going to lead to tremendous inflation. It will just drive costs right through the roof. In an already difficult economy with high unemployment, the cost of jobs. In fact, I was reading today that if Prop 23 passes, that there will be over 1 million jobs created that otherwise wouldn't be there, that are going away because of AB 32.
Hey, Mike, before we get back into the details of this, I want you to do a little plug on your business. Tell people what it is you do.
Well, I can tell you the name of my business is Clayton's Towing, and we do heavy-duty towing pretty much throughout the North State. We cover primarily a 100-mile radius, and we pick up big rigs, trucks and trailers, and tow them into the shops when they break down out here on the roadways and highways and so forth. Of course, the wrecks and things like that are always a lot of fun, and you know, that's what we do. It's kind of exciting sometimes.
So if this thing drives you out of business, there's probably just dozens of guys out there that have all that extra money that are just dying to pick up where you left off, right?
Oh yeah, buying a heavy duty tow truck is just as easy as going down
it's
and
only
buying
pocket change.
A Toyota Camry, you know,
and learning how to work it. I mean, that's like remote control, huh?
Yeah. So basically,
yeah. Everybody knows how to run these things, and it's not intimidating in the least.
No, I've seen the pictures.
Well, and if you think about all the small businesses that'll get knocked out of the game, it leaves it pretty much up to the big guys who might be able to absorb this cost a little bit better by passing it on to the consumer. But then they can kind of charge what they want because it sort of limits the market a little bit, and thus you have inflation.
Well, that's their pat answers. Basically, they just say, it's no problem. All you have to do is raise your rates. Okay, now, there's a point where you can't raise your rates, and especially when your competition, who, you know, they have this thing phased in over a period of time, and when you have to comply, but your competition does not, at least to a certain point, and they don't raise their rates, what are you going to do? You're going to go out of business that way, too. So, you know,
absolutely.
There's no good way to do this.
Hey, Anita.
Yeah, when Mike goes out of business, the people that he buys his supplies from
absolutely.
Also are going to be hurting. The people that he buys his lunch from and his employees, little things like that. You know, you go to the diner and get a sandwich. You know, his folks aren't going to be there to buy the sandwiches anymore. You know, it is a real, real problem economy-wide that folks have no idea is coming down the pike at them. And, you know, basically, yes on 23 is the only thing that is standing between us and the hardworking people that actually still care enough about California to want to continue to make a go here. And bankruptcy, and it's terrifying.
Anita, what's the backup plan on this?
Backup plan is that first of all, we're going to win on November 2nd. So,
but I mean, like once that happens, you still have AB 32 on the books.
So. It's on the books, but it won't come back until the economy can better withstand the costs. And let me tell you, even right now, I will tell you, it's really important that folks understand this. We are at a dead heat in the polls. This could go either way. We are confident that folks like your listeners are going to get out there and put us over the top. But even, when we win, we still have to fight the Air Resources Board and the legislature, which unfortunately is very, very, adamant about going forward regardless of the cost. It's kind of darn the torpedoes mentality. So we have to constantly be vigilant, no matter how many wins we have, no matter how many victories we have, they just find another way to go. So they're already looking at another renewable portfolio standard, which we haven't talked about, but that means they would require California utilities to get their energy sources to make electricity only from quote-unquote renewable sources, meaning solar or wind or somewhere other than from traditional fossil fuels like natural gas or coal. And it's a huge problem. That's why the electricity rates are going to be so key in this. So they're still running around trying to find other laws that they can pass outside of the global warming law to get their way, even if the voters tell them that they can't have it at this point in time because we can't afford it. So no matter what happens on November 2nd, we need to be constantly vigilant and monitor what these folks are doing and make sure that our elected representatives know that if they want to be reelected, they have to watch out for families and jobs and California's economy ahead of trying to establish themselves as leaders in climate change policy when the rest of the world has already figured out that that's bad for their citizens, so they're not doing it.
And Anita, that brings to point that something we keep telling all of our folks out there is that the real battle begins on November 3rd.
You're darn right.
For people that are wondering how can they get this information to friends and family, you can go to the yeson23.com website and get information. You can also swing by Dairy Queen, courtesy of Bob Wilder. Thanks, Bob. Dairy Queen has been awesome. They are tremendous patriots, and every time we have a kind of a last-minute thing, Dairy Queen jumps in and says,
yeah, they're
sure,
awesome.
You can do it at our place. So we're going to put up a blue pop-up and have a blue table. It's basically a drive-through. You can pick up materials for your friends and family, your business, bumper sticker, sign, something for your window. And
grab an ice cream while you're there.
And more than anything, yeah, do it. It's during lunch from 11 to 2 on Thursday. And go through the drive-thru there at Dairy Queen and support those guys. They are awesome.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, what?
This is Mike again.
Hi, Mike.
I wanted to mention there is a website also called killcarb.org. I don't know if Anita's familiar with that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you might even comment a little bit about that, but I think that's a very good resource to get a lot of this information about who CARB is and what CARB is really about and what they've been up to, including back when they passed this wonderful idea about adding MTBE to our gasoline years ago. It was something that was supposed to protect our environment, absolutely an essential thing to do. It raised the cost of gasoline 50 cents a gallon. Then they found out after the fact, this is how on top of it, these scientists are, that we were polluting and poisoning our water. And so they had to retool and go back and change and reformulate our gasoline again and increase our costs again. Now, if these people are so smart and they know what's going on, why didn't they understand that before they started, you know, dumping all over the
stuff? They overestimated the diesel emissions by 340%, maybe?
yeah, exactly. You know, when you look at one of their lead scientists, in fact, I think it is the lead scientist who got his PhD from a mail order Thornhill University, from what I understand, program. It's not even he's not even truly a scientist, and yet he's the one who they give all their credit to for the research and withheld the information from the CARB board of directors, letting them know. This is Mary Nichols, the chairwoman of CARB, who withheld. She knew this information. Now, how do you trust people that do that kind of that practice this kind of ethics, you know, and hide things? Their deceit makes you think, well, how can you trust anything that they're telling you? You need to go to killcarb.org and get all this information and find out just exactly what these people are about. When they start putting all this stuff out about the special interest groups, believe me, they are a special interest group. They have an interest. And it's in our tax dollars.
And when they tell you that it's not going to cost anything, hold on to your wallet and hide your mattress if there's anything left in it, because they're going to get every penny that you've got.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And just for all those people that out there that haven't been following this issue or aren't scientists, killcarb.org is not a health program. CARB is the California Air Resources Board. I guess
not
thinking
a way
about that.
Way.
I was like, kill CARB. You know, it sounds kind of good. It's actually about the California
not
Air
sponsored
Resources
by Weight
Board.
Watchers.
Yeah, for Richard Simmons.
Hey, and I also wanted to thank Anita and Mike very much for coming on board. And you both gave great perspectives and a lot of really super information. We really appreciate it. Wanted to give a quick plug to Dan Pearson Excavating and Miller Auto Transport, two of our great patriots and sponsors of We the People.
Absolutely. And Prop 23 materials available again at Dairy Queen Thursday from 11 to 2. You can drive through on your lunch hour, pick up something to eat, grab some great materials on this tremendous proposition that we've got to get passed. Yes on 23 is the topic with Anita Mangles. And Anita, you're down in Los Angeles. Where do you go from here?
Oh, right now I'm down in Los Angeles. Actually, I go all over the state debating and making presentations on this. I wish I could be at the Dairy Queen with you on Thursday, I'll tell you that.
Well,
I want to give it another plug and thank the Dairy Queen. Go out there, get your materials. I can tell you we did an event like this in the Los Angeles area last week. We gave out several thousand yard signs and bumper stickers.
Okay, and you can catch us at readingteaparty.com. We've got a meeting tomorrow night, 6 p.m., Bonneview Baptist Church there on South Bonneview. You're going to learn all about what's going on with City Council and their issues.
And everybody, thanks for listening, and please come back next week.
You're at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM. the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Lissiera. The website WikiLeaks may be about to release more classified information, this time reportedly about the Iraq war.
In a letter released to Fox News on Saturday, Defense Secretary Robert Gates writes to Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, that an initial assessment, anyway, by the Pentagon concludes that the leak of the Afghan war logs did not compromise any American intelligence sources or methods, but did pose a potential risk to individuals. So the debate continues on the impact of WikiLeaks as the Pentagon braces for another big leak of classified war information.
Fox's Julie Kurtz. In July, the website released thousands of documents related to the war in Afghanistan. Just a little over 2 weeks until Election Day and predictions coming from the White House.
I think our candidates have done a remarkably good job in a tough political environment. And I think that come election night, we'll retain control of both the House and the Senate.
Spokesman Robert Gibbs on NBC's Meet